This is June 13th at
11:51.
And Forrest Solis is recording an interview with Lainey Mulvaney. Lainey, have you received the consent form?
Yes.
And you consent to having your labor and delivery story recorded and as part of the Creative Push project?
Yes.
Okay. Will you state your full name?
Lainey Jo Mulvaney.
All right, Lainey. Thank you for doing this. Could you maybe take us back to around the time when you delivered your girls and think of anything, a specific event or the time of year, anything that could really situate us?
You know, it was early spring when I had my very first child, and I had just previously, the previous weekend, had my baby shower. So I remember that it was that freshness of Arizona where it was the pool sparkled and the breeze was nice and everyone sat outside in the shade already, of course, but it was that sweet time of year when you can be outdoors in Arizona.
Great. How was pregnancy for you?
My very first pregnancy was difficult. I had, at the end of the pregnancy, I had a hard time getting up out of bed. I was sore all the time. I really had a lot of the ligaments that are loosened during pregnancy, I had a lot of trouble getting up out of bed, and I had a lot of trouble sleeping at night too. So that part of the pregnancy wasn't pretty. And I gained 60 pounds both times I was pregnant. So the doctors thought I was eating a crazy amount of food, which is not true. It just was a lot of water weight. So it wasn't a beautiful process by any means for me.
How was that emotionally?
Looking back at the photos, I just can't even imagine that your body can endure that physical transformation. I don't remember being unhappy at the time. I remember thinking that this is such a blessing. I know I'm going to have a happy, healthy child, and I'm glad I get to do that. But I remember just the physical pain, but it wasn't emotional pain.
So can you talk about your ideas of the labor and delivery? Like, did you have a plan, or how would you thought about that process?
When I initially was pregnant, I did what a lot of women do, and they do the how to have a baby class with their husbands. And I just remember sitting in that class going, I'm just sure, I knew in the back of my mind that this was not going to be a process that I ever endured. I knew from the very beginning that I most likely was not going to have a vaginal delivery. My first pregnancy and my subsequent pregnancy, turns out, both of them were frank breech. So that means that their spinal cord actually aligns with your spinal cord when their spine is usually at your stomach. So they were backwards and with head up instead of head down the entire time. So that's why I had to have both of them C-sections.
So can you maybe elaborate now, kind of run with it, about that experience, maybe when you found out about that and the process leading up towards the cesarean?
Okay. I knew that the baby had not turned rather late in the pregnancy, so the chances of the baby turning was quite slim. And the doctor told me that if the baby remained head up in that frank breech position, that a vaginal delivery was not an option. But I had known that for a long time. I just had sensed that that wasn't going to be something that I could do. And I'm not exactly sure where that notion came from, but I just knew sitting in that class that that was not going to be something that happened to my body. So as the pregnancy progressed, my feet actually became gigantic, and I could actually feel the water in my feet as I walked in my shoes. And I would wear these loafers, and for some reason to this day, my children are 5 and 7 years old, I don't wear the loafers, but I still have them for some sentimental, weird reason. But I remember the water sloshing on the tops of my feet, and then my feet kind of folding over the tops of the loafers. That's how huge my feet were. And I started going to the doctor at the end of the pregnancy, every couple of days, I believe, that you go. And one of the measurements, when I had an ultrasound, they measured the amniotic fluid. And I went from, normal amniotic fluid is about 30 to 35, if I recall correctly. It's been a long time since I've known that number. But when my seven-year-old, when it came time for her to be born, she was actually due on the 28th of March. And March 10th, I went in for a doctor's appointment, and the amniotic fluid was at a 4, which is dangerously low. So the doctor advised me right then and there to go to the hospital, and we were going to have a baby that afternoon. So I said, I think I at least want to run home and grab my husband and my stuff. Would that be okay? And she said, yeah, grab that and then meet me there. And so in just a couple of hours, it was a whirlwind. And I had driven to the doctor by myself because I thought it was a routine appointment. And I called Jim, who was on the golf course, and said, you need to get off the golf course and meet me at home. We're going to the hospital to have a baby. And he thought I was joking, and I said, I'm not, I'll meet you there in 20 minutes. So he left the golf course, we met at home, and I cried the entire way. It was probably the most dangerous car ride because it's terrifying to think that your amniotic fluid is so low, terrifying to think that you still had, you know, 18 more days until the baby had arrived. I didn't have any of the clothing washed, and I just kept thinking, I have to focus on the important part of this, which is having a healthy baby, and not the washcloths clean and ready, because that stuff can happen. But my mind couldn't rationalize all of that at that time. It was just this massive chaos of a storm driving down the 51 freeway, and my mom, who lives in town, had met us at the house because she was going to babysit our dog at the time. And she took a couple of last minute pictures of us heading to the hospital, and my face was as red could be. It was every emotion that I had ever felt in my life, I think, it just wrote itself in red across my face during that time. And we headed to the hospital, and I did not know if I was having a boy or a girl. And that was something that we had said, that there are not very many great surprises in life anymore, and we really wanted to wait. And then as soon as Jim was with me, I felt much more at ease that there was, you know, I had a partner in this process. And I just kept thinking, we're gonna finally find out if we have a boy or a girl. And then I started focusing on that instead of the turmoil and the fear of, you know, just having that little amount of fluid, which is dangerous for the baby because then they can't breathe. What else?
Can you talk about the literal experience?
Okay, so then we got to the hospital, right? And I remember them putting in the IV, and I had to focus outside the window. And I found this crack on the building that I really zoned in on because the IV hurt so terribly bad, and I don't know if she just was not a professional at it, but I thought, oh my gosh, if I can't handle this, there's no way I could have pushed out a baby. And then Jim got in his gown, and it was a rather rapid, it wasn't a check-in and wait. It was, we got there, I got in the bed, Jim got his gown on, and we went down to the room where they did the C-section. So, and then they strap your arms down so you can't move your arms. And I saw the IV, and I thought, gosh, I hope they could stop bumping that. That hurt so bad. And before that, actually, though, they had you lean over to put the epidural in, or the spinal block, I think is what it's called for a C-section. It's an actual block, so you feel nothing from the waist down. And then they strap your hands down and then give you the oxygen mask, and then the gown goes up. So the sheet, so that you can't see what's going on down there. And then they bring the husband in. And I believe at that time, that's when they put in your catheter and then start prepping the area. And what I remember at that time was that, you know, I felt like there was a lot of motion back there, but I couldn't see anything. And I kept thinking about, you know, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. And just thinking about, you know, how sad it was that I actually couldn't see my child arrive on the planet. But my husband actually took a really pretty killer video that, so I did get to see it. And what I remember about that was that they would set a clock from the time that they did the iodine wash, and then they just waited and waited and waited. And I felt like those minutes just seemed to, the seconds were hours. And I thought, let's just start the process. You know, now what if the amniotic fluid is a two? Let's go. You made me rush, now you rush. And that was just a weird length of time. And then as Jim starts videoing the birth, he has the cut and the incision, and you can see some of the blood, and obviously there's very little fluid, so that not a lot, you know, when a normal delivery happens, there's a lot of fluid, and I obviously had very little. So I, watching the video now, I just realize of all of the pressure that I felt on my body and what that really was. And it was human hands pushing this 6-pound baby, which is kind of tiny, but out of a, you know, 3 or 4 inch incision. So it's pretty miraculous that they're little pieces of rubber that can bend in that crazy way to get out of that tiny little incision. And, you know, I could only hear Jim talking to me about it. I couldn't see anything. And I remember him saying that, oh, there's an arm. Oh, there's, and then he's like, what is it? And you can see, because they're Frank Breech babies, that they just look like a little tube of sausage, and their legs are, you know, back up over their ears, and they just are. And having the baby come out, and I remember this terrible feeling on my right side, and it hurt so bad, and I thought, how come I'm feeling this? And then when I actually watched the video later, I could see that it was the nurse who was actually pushing the baby from the top so the doctor could grab from the bottom. And it was kind of like this internal, external tug of war. And I remembered just like, she's gonna break my ribs if this, or I didn't know what it was, but I thought it was going to break my ribs, and it was actually the nurse pushing the baby out through that little hole. Is wild to think about that can happen. And then when they remove, when they you know, they flip the baby over and they say, you have a little girl. And that's all I heard, and I couldn't see anything yet, but it's on the video, so I'm glad that I actually have that as my archive, that I got to see something. But then they, you know, they take this little tiny 6-pound thing way over on the other side of the room, and you don't get to see it, hold it, feel it, can't hardly even hear it because the cry is so, so weak. And I just remember her looking, so saying to myself, one, I can't believe that I have a daughter. That just sounds, it didn't come naturally at the time. And then to see that, because she was so early, and because it was a C-section baby, they come out and they're covered in that vernix still, which is that waxy coating on the baby that actually diminishes as the baby progresses and comes to be full term. So she was just covered in this white waxy material, and I thought, they better get that off of her. It seemed very alien-esque, not a cute, healthy baby being born into the world that you see on the movies. It was, you know, very down and dirty and in the trenches. I can't believe what I'm seeing. I can't believe that came out of my body type of thing.
How about the recovery process? And then once the baby was born, they were stitching you up, or, you know, how does...
Jim's obviously focused on the baby now, so I don't know exactly what's going on down there. I don't know anything about the afterbirth or the placenta. I have no clue what happened. I do remember feeling, after the first pregnancy, very itchy in my face because of the drugs, and after the second pregnancy, I had a violent reaction to the anesthesia, and I vomited for 6 to 8 hours. So I didn't hold the baby. I would try to nurse and then throw up and try to nurse and then throw up. And it just, that was, it. And I remember Jim walking around the room with the baby crying, Genevieve, the youngest, crying. And I just thought, I'm so sick. I can't hold the baby, and I just wish for silence. I can't rest. I can't recover. And it was a hopeless feeling that I couldn't help her. I couldn't help Jim, and I couldn't help myself. I just laid there and tried not to throw up again and again and again. But the first pregnancy, we nursed right away. She had hiccups right away. It was adorable and very sweet. And then the second pregnancy, the second day was much better for me. But that the exact same thing happened, where it was low amniotic fluid for Genevieve. And it just happened like that, and right to the hospital. But I was smart enough to have Jim with me that time, because then I had known that something, once you feel the water sloshing in your feet, you know that the fluid's probably going to the wrong place.
How was the scarring process and all of that afterward?
The first pregnancy, I had a huge keloid scar, and the same doctor did my second delivery, and she noticed that that scar tissue had keloided quite severely, so she actually put a steroid cream in there the second time and cleaned it and did a scar revision, since she was there anyway, which was nice. So the first one was not pretty, and the second one turned out better. So I figured I might as well stop while I'm ahead.
But was it painful? Like caring for your child and having had a C-section, or how, was that not a problem?
I didn't feel that it was. The part that bothered me the most was the changing on the diaper station, because I would bump myself, and that was quite sensitive. But if I would change her, you know, anywhere else that it was just the right height. So that was painful. But I just had a really terrible feeling that the pain pills were not making me as astute or knowing what was going on. So I just started taking Tylenol and Motrin and stopped taking any pain pills. And then I just walked the hospital floors with the baby. And then we got to push her around, and which was good. But I think because I got up walking with the first child so soon, I had very few problems. And I think I had more problems with the second child because I was so sick that I didn't get up and start walking around right away. So it was just, they were just very different pregnancies, and the pregnancies themselves couldn't have been more different. One was very sweet craving and one was very salt craving, and they ended up both being girls. So I don't think that those wives' tales have any truth. I think every pregnancy is different, just like every child is different.
I think that's great. Thank you mm-hmm. so much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
I think that was a perfect way to end.